what's the psychology behind sticking with volatile assets like cryptocurrencies? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. First, though, plans have been unveiled for a new international data-sharing partnership to identify and track emerging diseases. The Global Pandemic Radar, as it's called, will be led by the World Health Organization and London-based health foundation, the Wellcome Trust. It's designed to spot outbreaks, including new coronavirus variants, and help prevent future pandemics. The BBC's Catherine DaCosta has more on that.
The COVID-19 pandemic's highlighted just how vulnerable we are to a fast-moving infectious disease. Now a network of surveillance hubs will be established to monitor new variants and disease outbreaks at a community level, conduct genomic sequencing and share the data with partners across the globe. The idea is to help speed up the development of vaccines, treatments and tests to prevent future pandemics. The new partnerships will build on existing surveillance for HIV, TB and malaria. Some work's already underway. The World Health Organization's identified the variant first found in India in more than 50 countries so far. The Global Pandemic Radar is expected to be fully up and running before the end of the year.
That's Catherine DaCosta reporting there. A Dutch company called Fasten today said it's joined forces with Elon Musk's Tesla to bring more electrical vehicle charging stations to Oxford. The company says the move here in England will create one of Europe's most powerful electric vehicle charging locations. So with more infrastructure on the way, could U.S. EV company Tesla also be looking to expand its own factory footprint here in the UK? The BBC's Theo Leggett has that story.
Elon Musk reportedly flew into the UK by private jet last week, landing at Luton Airport some 35 miles to the north of London. He's believed to have stayed in the country for 2 days. That coincided with separate reports that the British government was looking for a site for a major new car plant and had asked regional authorities to come up with proposals. This isn't the first time that a visit from the Tesla boss has fueled rumours of a possible production line being built here, although 2 years ago he rejected the UK as a site for a new gigafactory, preferring to set it up in Germany instead. On that occasion, uncertainty over Brexit was a key factor. But UK officials have made it clear that now the country is outside the EU, it's no longer restricted by European rules on state aid, putting it in a better position to dangle tempting incentives before a potential investor. In London, I'm Theo Leggett for Marketplace.
It's a relatively quiet day for global stock markets, with benchmarks little changed, but that kind of quiet hasn't been seen so far this week across the cryptocurrency space, which has seen digital assets like Bitcoin on a roller coaster ride. The cryptocurrency is down about 15% today, but roughly 30% higher than the lows it plumbed in the middle of this week. That kind of trend is one we've seen repeatedly over the last few years in the crypto space. This morning, I googled Bitcoin loses a third of its value, and the top three results featured some variation of that headline from three major news outlets with dates ranging from 2017 to 2020. So, what makes investors stick with their cryptocurrency bets despite the big swings? For the answer, we called up Dr. Grace Lorden, an associate professor in behavioral sciences at the London School of Economics.
We see quite a lot that there's a tendency for people to actually hold on to losing stocks too long because they actually really hold this belief that it will bounce back. We always think that everything reverts to mean, which mightn't actually be true, of course, for cryptocurrencies because it is a new asset class. It is much sexier than others. It's really, really exciting. I don't know of any other asset where people who don't hold it, who don't invest in the stock market, are talking about it so much.
So does social media sort of make this effect even more magnified? Because you can essentially block out any views that you don't agree with.
Social media is wonderful for creating echo chambers where people reassure each other that it's going to bounce back. So that will actually keep people holding assets, and in this case, you know, cryptos and Bitcoin and others, much longer than they probably should. The second thing that it actually does, it allows for a confirmation bias. So I'm sure if I googled, will cryptocurrency recover, I would see loads of articles that would say yes. And I think if I also googled, is cryptocurrency doomed to failure, there would be loads of articles that would confirm that belief also. And then I think along with that, we have people who are really prominent in the public eye. Elon Musk is the classic example of this. You know, at one moment last week, he brought up the idea that cryptocurrencies were bad for the environment. And we saw that a lot of people chose to exit. And then he came back and said, actually, it might be worth holding. And we saw people going back into it.
It's sort of what we saw earlier this year with the GameStop investing saga, isn't it? It's just that people get on board and, as you say, they create an echo chamber, and then it sort of they build off of each other, and it results in these big magnified movements in various asset classes.
Absolutely, absolutely. So whatever narrative you want to believe, there is evidence out there to support it at this point.
Do we tend to see this in other asset classes? Because, you know, like I mentioned, the GameStop saga was trading stocks, but do we see it very often in other things, or is it fairly limited?
I mean, the closest thing that I would think is the dot-com bubble back in the early noughties, where people really had these beliefs that all of these tech firms would do extraordinarily well, and eventually it did go pop. There was a recovery, but it took a very, very long period of time. I think if people are investing in cryptocurrency, they might stand to gain lots in the future, but they also might stand to lose all of their money. We're all betting on doing incredibly well in the future, but the downside, I think, at this point hasn't been internalized by people who probably need the money to come back.
And that could be because a lot of cryptocurrency supporters see digital tokens like Bitcoin becoming a common form of payment, just like the dollar or the pound is at some point in the future. Do you think attention from global central banks looking to possibly develop central bank digital currencies, or even businesses that are saying, okay, well, maybe we'll accept Bitcoin in exchange for our goods or services, does that help fuel this idea that it will be a common form of payment in the future?
Like the automatable car, we don't know when that's going to come about, because there's a lot of query over laws and institutions and regulations that has to be resolved first. So there could be a long wait on this, right? It could be decades rather than years. When the media covers banks looking seriously at the idea of developing their own, when the media talks about big companies that might actually be accepting cryptocurrency and Bitcoin as a method of payment, all of these are signals for people who are looking for confirmation bias that this is actually the future. And I do think that it is right. Digital currencies probably will dominate our future, but I just don't think we have the timing on that yet.
Dr. Grace Lorden from the London School of Economics, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you so much.
Finally, the Australian state of Queensland is offering free flights and cash to anyone from around the country who moves there to take a job in tourism. It's facing a labor shortage because of the pandemic. Government stats show job vacancies in the country have risen by nearly 30% since the pandemic began. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.